in Germany, when I give lectures, I say to the German minds, we need gas stations, power stations, not for benzene to drive our cars, but we need spiritual potency to drive our lives. This is very, very important. Now, the Vedic scripture for our have helped us by identifying three powerful power stations in our lives, which help us to develop our spiritual personality and raise in our consciousness to the level where we understand ourselves as part and parcels of Krishna. The first level, the first power station, so to say, is sadhu sangha. To have association with spiritually minded people. This association almost works even in a non-verbal way. In other words, the association is not only a matter of hearing from the sadhu. Hearing is very, very important. It arises our spiritual knowledge again. But the scriptures say sadhu sangha or association with devotees can be so potent that the 11th part of a second is enough. This hints at a non-verbal communication, because in an 11th part of a second you can't even say Hare, you can only say Ha. Let me give you some examples of non-verbal communication so that you understand the power of sadhu sangha. Sometimes we feel, I will give you on the lowest level. Some of you go still to discos? I think so. You don't have to raise your hands, because in this circle people might not be so appreciative. But imagine a young boy who goes to a disco and sees a beautiful girl from South India or North India or East India or West India or whatever. Radhanath Maharaj gave us a wonderful lecture about the power of lust and love a few weeks ago. You know what happens? A young boy enters the disco, he hears all this music, his lusty emotions get awakened, and then he sees her. It's too loud to even speak one word, but he feels some vibrations in the lower chakra or lower energy circle. He feels sexually agitated. He is drawn towards her, who is shaking her head like a female palm tree, like a palm tree from South India, and sees and becomes so much close to her that he is ready to give his life, or at least a few rupees. This is a non-verbal communication. Similarly, you may walk on the street and you see someone, which happens in the lowest area of the human body. You see someone on the street and he is immediately sympathetic to you. Do you sometimes feel this? This is just such a clear face, and something in your heart tells you, I really want to meet this person and talk to him more. I must tell you, I felt this feeling when I saw a few people here. When I saw Gauranga the first time, this devotee of Krishna, we had not even had time to speak. But from my heart I felt, what an interesting person. I hope he talks to me. And then Gauranga didn't talk to me. And then when he came one day, I said, Hari Bol. And then he talked to me. Yes, this it's called nonverbal communication. Sympathy is in this area. It's called the Anahata Chakra, if you are interested in the things. So when you meet a sadhu, also something becomes starts to resound in you. When you meet a bona fide saint, you will feel how inside of you three very powerful traits of your personality begin to resound. Just in, I think in physics you have learned when you made a certain sound on the sita, then there are resounding strings, resonance strings, and they will be moved by that sound. So when you move, when you see a sadhu, inside of you some resonance comes. This is the strings of your personality which always sleep when you are in material consciousness. Your sat string moves, your chit string moves, and your ananda string moves. When you see a real sadhu, you feel like very spiritual. Ooh, good. You feel elevated. That's why in India people still know, let us go and take darshan of a sadhu. It's very good for us. Huh? Or when you see the deity, by this seeing, something moves in you, something which is long forgotten. We had one devotee who was working with Mercedes. Mercedes-Benz is a German car, and he was had forgotten everything about his spiritual culture. He had become just like a German, drove around with one of these expensive cars, 220 kilometers an hour on the auto road. It's not Indian auto road. And when he came one day to our temple, which happened to be in an old castle, and he said, let me look. He went inside, he saw the deities, and immediately when he saw the deities on the altar, when he had darshan, the strings which had slept started to resound. So sadhu sangha, have association not with materialistic fools, but with devotees of Krishna. You will see how in the association you become shaped, you become moved. And something which lies dormant within you rises out of the sleepiness. The next technique, so to say, or tip, and I'm soon over with my lecture. Oops, I'm a little long. Is Bhagavad Smaran. Read in spiritual scriptures. Please, my dear young men, the youth which has come today, do not think these books are just, ancient, boring traditions. They are nothing else than highly potent information. The Harvard University made a very, very interesting analysis with microwaves, waves. You know microwaves for in modern households, they are there. You cook in 1 minute a meal in it. When you hear this, you will most properly throw out your microwaves. They had 8,000 cats. No, 4,000, I'm sorry. Half of it is also a lot. And they gave all these cats the food which they liked, non-veg, cheese, I do not know what cats like. Rats usually, anyways, it's not so good to hear about this before a meal. Milk, that's acceptable for us. Yogurt, I do not know, but they gave them everything what they wanted, but they didn't allow the cats to come out in the sunshine. So also the water which they got, but everything which the cats got was put into a microwave just for a few minutes. The cat was eating it afterwards. After 2 weeks, the male cats became homosexual cats. You know, they went with men, and the female cats became lesbian cats. That means they went with women. After 2 months, that is 8 weeks, all the cats were dead. Now, if you would give the food which was, if you would give the food before the microwave to how are they called, chemical laboratorium, yes, and you would give the food after the treatment with the microwave to the chemical laboratorium, they would find out that the chemical ingredients are exactly 100% the same. That's why people say microwaves very good and sell them. But there was something which was added with the microwave which decided that the cats had such an abnormal behavior and later died. And this was a certain information which decided about the life and death of the cats. My point here is that the scriptures are not just some black and white letters like you find everywhere in all books. The scriptures are not just something. They are very potent information, spiritual information which they carry, which when you read it regularly can induce and strengthen your whole life. Do you know that the Bhagavad Gita still continues to change lives? Did you know this? That we distribute Gitas all over the world, in Poland, in Russia, in America. People get this book in their hand and they start to tell their parents, I want to become a vegetarian. And the parents say, impossible, this means you will die. American parents or German parents. These books change people's life, and then after some time they say, I want to become a Hare Krishna devotee. Hari Bol. You may say, well, it's just some print on some paper. But no, it's much more. Just like the microwave, there's much more than the chemical laboratorium can ever find out. I hate this example very much. I mean, let us not say in the same way. In much, 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 much more and better ways, the scriptures have a transformation potency in them. They are called Bhagavad Virya, the divine energy of the Lord. These are spoken words from Krishna, and they have been captured, for instance, this, or from self-realized souls. Chintamani prakara satma sukalpa briksha laksha vriteshu surabhi abhipalayantam, and so on. You may say these are words like other words, but no, these are divine words from Scripture which carry a spiritual information of the spiritual world. You can compare them, this may be a better thing, like TV rays, which carry a picture with them and a whole emission. So, therefore, it's good if you read every day in the sacred scripture and get transformed. But read with the heart. Don't just read with your head. That means if you just try to understand everything with the intellect, that cannot help you. Allow yourself to feel the divine inspiration which touches and transforms you. And the last tip which I would like to give you, and then I'm silent, and then you have survived my lecture successfully, is to chant the holy name of Krishna. My dear students and dear skeptics, here I will just say what I have felt in my own life. Somehow, by Krishna's mercy, although I come from a country which is so different from yours, which is so unspiritual, I have heard the chanting of the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra in a very unusual circumstance, and have started to chant also. I've just come from a retreat. I lived in Vrindavan, at a lonely place. We lived just from a hand pump, and we ate what was given to us by the villagers, and from morning till evening we just chanted, and it was such a deep experience. From the ancient tradition, Vedic tradition, we hear that the holy name has so much power that at a certain level of realization you understand that Krishna and Krishna are non-different. What I mean to say is that the name Krishna is non-different from the person Krishna. In other words, by chanting you can make it bona fide God realization. This will help you. These three processes are good in the beginning, and at the middle, and at the end of your spiritual advancement. They will help you to go through this journey in consciousness, so that you come to the Anandamaya level of consciousness. These processes are magnetic. If you have a magnet and rub it against iron, then the iron will take on the qualities of the magnet. Yes? And it will also attract. Oops, it almost works. I didn't use a magnet, but no, I'm trying to make you awake. It's not it's not magnetic. So these spiritual processes, or we even have them on the, will help you to magnetize your consciousness. Here we have a little lotus, and here you have sadhu sangha, association with devotees. Here you have reading in scriptures, Bhagavat Smaran, Srimad Bhagavatam, and finally you have Naam Kirtan, which we will do in a minute, chanting the holy names of Krishna. Chant Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. and be happy. Ooh, super. This will really develop your spiritual personalities, and you will become extremely happy. You will become the eagle which leaves the chicken ground and become genuine spiritual personalities. Hare Krishna. Thank you very, very much for listening. For listening to me so patiently. I hope I have expressed everything in an understandable and digestible way.
Hare Krishna. So we would like to thank His Holiness Satchidananda Maharaj for a wonderful presentation. And I'm sure many of you may have some questions or some clarifications. So we have around 10 minutes. We would love to have a long session, but because we have to also have the kirtan, if anyone would like to ask any questions, you can do so. We'll pass on this mic. Yes.
Wonderful lecture. I just have one doubt. You said we have to follow detachment. Now, I mean, how do you follow detachment? How do you become detached from things? Like, you're going through your life, you're going through the motions of life. Even, like, say, praying to God, and you're being attached. You're attaching to God. How do you become detached? How do you free yourself? Even praying is a form of attachment to God.
Yeah. Thank you very much for your wonderful question. How do you become detached? By becoming attached. Any form of detachment can be easily gotten by a higher form of attachment. This is the teachings of our Vaishnava tradition, where we develop spiritual attachments to give up material attachments. For instance, a person who might have been attached to smoking is now attached to singing and becoming intoxicated with the holy names which are helping him to detach himself from matter and attach himself to God, where his original home is. Detachment is not very difficult if you know the art of spiritual attachment. Sometimes my rich parents say, "Well, how is it possible for you to live like this? You cannot smoke, you cannot this, no cinema, no this, it's a very dry life." He said, "I dance to the kirtan, my mind is busy with spiritual thoughts, I am fulfilled. So by this divine attachments, let us call them, you can become detached from all these ropes of material existence. Sometimes people tell me, "You smile so much. How can we learn this?" TV announcers and film stars. And they say, "This is not something with the muscles. I'm just happy. This is all." Very simple. Krishna consciousness is a happy process of spiritual life. Mm-hmm. Thank you very much. I have answered it briefly because we have only 10 minutes. Other question, please? Yes? You will get the microphone.
does God have God has form, and if he has form, it is a limitation to his him. So God actually is formless. Why we worship form?
Thank you very much. God has no material form, which is limited, but a spiritual personality from which waves of beauty and love emanate. And this personality is unlimited. I would like to give you just a little insight into one of Krishna's Leelas, because we worship Krishna, to show you how this Krishna is unlimited. Once his mother, Yashoda, asked him, "I have heard that you have shown that you have eaten dirt. We are the kings and queen of Braj. Why does our son have to eat dirt?" Like little children do. Krishna said, "I have not eaten dirt. My friends have falsely told that I have eaten dirt." "Okay," said Mother Yashoda, "then please open your mouth that I can see." When Krishna opened his little mouth, Mother Yashoda saw the whole universe in Krishna's mouth. She saw herself being in Krishna's mouth, and she also saw herself asking Krishna to open his mouth, and in that Krishna's mouth she again saw the whole universe and herself and so on. Now this indicates that Krishna's mouth is unlimited. See, Krishna had appeared in the universe, but at the same time the universe was within him. This is almost like saying this glass is in the room, and at the same time the room, including yourself and all the guests, are in the glass. This glass who could perform such a feat is certainly not a glass which follows our physical laws of nature. So when Krishna, when we hear description of Krishna's form, we should know that this form is not a form which follows the laws of our forms, of our bodies, and which is limited by the laws, but it is an unlimited form full of bliss and knowledge. And if you worship this form, you begin to understand from this from the wonderful form of Krishna, his divine qualities, his divine activities, and you will change your consciousness to the unlimited level of Krishna consciousness. This is the experience, and so on. This is a short answer, but this question which you have raised, it is discussed in scriptures. It is not in the way, I could say, it is, an ancient question, an ancient philosophical question. How can form be unlimited? There are certainly many, many wonderful more statements about this. But here I will just make the point, Krishna's form is unlimited. Mm-hmm. Thank you very much. So it's not a normal form. So we have time for one more question. I see in the back is a question. The microphone, if it could fly like an eagle, it would be faster. This will be the last question. I hope it is a question which is vibrant with ecstasy. Has the microphone reached? Yes, please ask your question. I'm sorry, it doesn't work. Yes.
So you just told that we are part and parcel of God. So why to believe that we are part and parcel of God? We are ourselves. We are not someone else. Why to believe? And if we are part and parcel of God, why we are so different from each other?
I must be... Thank you very much. I must be very sure that I understand the question properly. See, English is not my mother tongue, and I understand English, but I couldn't really understand. Anyway, if we are part and parcel of God, you said, then how? Why are we so different from each other and not the same? Is this?
Yes, sir.
Thank you very much. Thank you very much. If we are part and parcel of God, the question says, why are we so different from each other? When we say that we are part and parcel of God, we refer to the eternal spiritual soul within the body. There's a very nice poem. It says, when it has long hair and big breasts, it is called woman. When it has a mustache and short breasts, it's called man. The Atman, the soul, however, is neither man nor woman. It's an eternal spiritual part of Krishna. Now, when this Atman or soul is in the material world, it has forgotten its spiritual personality, and yet you could compare it with a little seed which has in it the plant in a potential form. So when the spiritual person, when we leave this spiritual atmosphere, our spiritual personality becomes unmanifest and comes into what we call the Jiva Bhuta state, a state of the soul where the spiritual personality is there, but in seed-like form. Not manifest. When you again take to spiritual practices, slowly, 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 just like a tree which comes from a seed, souls within the body, sometimes a Indian body, sometimes a Western body, a male or a female body. These are only material differences which do not apply to the soul. The soul is there as a little spark, a part of Krishna. When the soul, however, develops its spiritual potential, then its individuality and individual persona will also manifest. Thank you very much for your question. Now there will be for sure many, many more questions, but we will end our question session here and introduce to you a very wonderful person who will lead all of us in one of the practices which we have
explained this evening, the Naam Kirtan. And Gauranga Prabhu will introduce to you this smiling personality who is very qualified to guide us today in the Naam Kirtan.
Thank you very much, Sachinandan Maharaj. We would like to thank His Holiness Sachinandan Maharaj for his wonderful presentation. Hari Bol! Hari Bol! Hari Bol! We hope that we have the good fortune of having you again whenever you are here in Mumbai. Before I call upon Sri Prahlad Prabhu, I would like to make an announcement on the basis of whatever Sachinandan Maharaj spoke. He spoke about Sadhu Sangha, so we have a follow-up yoga retreat on this Prerana festival. If you want to know more about Krishna consciousness, then you can register for a yoga retreat which will be held on Friday and Saturday, the 20th and 21st of December, this very month. The timing will be between 6:30 p.m. to 9 p.m. Two evenings, Friday evening and Saturday evening. The topics will be, first topic on Friday will be the mystery of mind control, and second topic on Saturday will be the all-devouring time. So this will be lecture presentations along with video shows and a lot of time for personal interactions and prasadam. For further details, there is...
Welcome here, and thanks to Sachinandan Maharaj for such a wonderful talk. Maharaj concluded his talk with some words about the spiritual energy centers. By connecting with spiritual energy centers, then we can awaken our spiritual potential. And so this has been practically demonstrated all around the world in a very, very tangible manner. There are thousands and thousands of examples, and particularly we have seen with our Festival of India in Poland, and one big rock festival or music festival that we take part in, it is called Woodstock, Euro Woodstock. In the Euro Woodstock, 300,000 young people, they come for peace, music, and love. This is the theme. And so we set our Krishna's Village of Peace in 5 hectares of land. We set a huge tent that can accommodate 10,000 people at a time. And we have kirtans, but also electric kirtans. We distribute prasad, 50,000 plates of Krishna prasad a day. So over 2 days we distribute 100,000 plates of Krishna prasad. And we have lots of discussions, as we are having here this evening, from the Gita and so on. And the transformation that takes place in the young people is phenomenal. The eagles realize that they are not chickens, and they start to fly in the spiritual sky. Those who are addicted to so many nasty habits, drugs and illicit sex, and then meat eating, they are able to give these things up very quickly and very easily. How is it possible? People very often in the West, they ask us when they hear, oh, you're not eating meat, what do you eat? They are surprised. Sometimes they want to tempt us. Maybe you want some hamburger. And they think that this is some, they will wave some bottle of beer. Would you like some? They think it is some great temptation. But for the person who is experiencing a higher taste from a higher energy plane, He is not tempted at all, because this, he has a tangible spiritual experience. And so the point is that this spiritual experience, it is the nature of the soul, it is the nature of the Atma. The material experience, that is there for the conditioned souls who are identifying with the body. Aham mameti, I am this matter. So they want to enjoy matter. The nature of matter is that matter is dead. It is lifeless. Meat is dead. Intoxication, it is dead. And even illicit sex, we want to enjoy another body. But by coming to the spiritual platform, then we can experience life. Because spirit is life. This body is animate. Why? Only because of the presence of the soul. And when the soul leaves, how do we say? He has gone. Who has gone? The body is here. No, person has gone. Atma has gone. He has passed away. The soul has gone. So the soul is life. And these spiritual energy centers, they connect us with life. So this is something very, very practical. It is not just academic, found in the book, the Bhagavad Gita. It is not something that the Swami will just speak to get followers or to take your money. But it is something that each and every one of us can experience in a very profound and tangible manner. And that thousands, hundreds of thousands of people around the world, each and every day, are experiencing, are applying to their lives and experiencing spiritual transformation. We have all experienced this. We are seeing this daily around the world. And this is the heritage of the people of India. The people of India are most fortunate that they have this great treasure, but unfortunate that this treasure is being neglected. Neglected for the things that the Westerners are holding on to. And so it is that we very, very humbly request everyone, especially the people of India, we request the Westerners the same thing. Don't neglect this treasure. But especially, we request the people of India that this is your birthright. Of all spiritual activity, the most profound and the most easily accessible is this chanting of the name of God. Any time, any place, any circumstance, regardless of one's age, regardless of one's social position, one can engage in chanting the name of God. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. And the more one focuses on this activity, the more one will get from it. So we will conclude there with that short message, and we will practically apply. We will request everyone to participate in Sankirtan, in the chanting of the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. Thank you very much.